Welcome to a Healing Peace podcast. I'm your host, Kimir Baker, the CEO founder of J Intelligence Networks. That's J Intel. Our podcast is your go-to source for empowerment and holistic well-being. Each episode is dedicated to nurturing a positive mindset, offering strategies to heal and transform the whole person. Join us on this journey to find balance, resilience, and true inner peace. Welcome to a Healing Peace podcast. We are talking about overcoming this 2024, and I'm so excited about the conversation that we're going to have today. I have a good friend on the show. His name is Emilio, and he's just doing great things with his nonprofit and just really giving back to our communities. Can you introduce yourself to our lovely audience?
Thank you, Ms. Baker. Thank you so much. My name is Emilio Noyola Jr. I was born in Houston, Texas, October 6, 1980. At a little bit over 1 year old, I was sent to Mexico to be raised with my parents, grandparents. At the age of six, I lived so many years with my grandparents that I didn't know nothing else but them. And being taken from them, it was the first time that I ever cried so bad, so hurt. But my dad needed me at school. And on my return back to the United States, we're no longer in Houston. Dallas, Texas becomes my home. We grew up in a neighborhood called West Dallas. Before we got the house that we have, that we've been living in, our fathers left us now that they passed away. We were raised on the projects, Section 8, bread and cheese and bologna, my favorite meals, food stamps. It was real love when it was food stamps coming because I knew for sure we wouldn't hit the store. That is who I am. Now I'm 43 years old. Been through some mistakes that have cost me dearly. I'm a former prisoner, federal prison from the FBOP. I did almost 20 years. And here I am now with a different view, a different heart, a different spirit, different passion that's driving me to make sure that the mistakes that I did for some other youth, some other son, some other daughter, not to commit it. Because the emotions are all the same. They don't distinguish from no one. When you cry, you shed tears. When you smile, you smile. When you're sad, you're sad. And all these was more of my effect when I know that my father and mother risked their lives crossing the Rio Grande to give us a better life. And I messed it up by making wrong decisions.
Yeah. And so I know all of us have regrets and done things that we know that we shouldn't have been doing. But one of the things that excite me about who you are as an individual is that your eagerness to not only learn from your experiences, but then to go back and reach out and say, hey, you don't have to be like this. You can have different decisions. Because we're also talking about overcoming this year. And so what will be some of the things, the little nuggets that you learned on your journey that really helped you to overcome? And is now giving you the opportunity to pour back into the youth.
What helped me overcome any adversity, any life's trial, difficult moments, is knowing who I am. My principles define my life, and my life is my family. That's the love. We come to learn a lot of ourselves, how we respond. Of course, there's some people that is emotionally strong, and there's people that is not emotionally strong. One big challenge for me that took everything from me was when I fell the cycle to the penal system, when I got indicted and became a FBOP property. That right there did not, no matter how strong one can be, it's like you really, really, really come to feel what it is to be defenseless. Nothing you can do about it but go through the motions. And in between time, to hear all bad news coming from the outside to my prison cell, that right there, really, I had hair, real good hair. One day I woke up. I didn't know what stress was. I didn't know what stress was at all. Right. But all I know is that my mind was thinking a lot and my hair fell down. It started falling off. And I would see so much hair that was there. And I was losing it.
Our 501c3 nonprofit organization, JNTEL, and A Healing Peace are looking for community partners to support our mission. We are bridging the gap between faith-based and therapeutic resources. Consider partnering with us. Go to jintel.org/donate and contribute. By contributing in this manner, you ensure that we continue to spread this inspiring and encouraging message.
When I got to the area where the tank is, I lasted in population and general population for like 17 days. Then they took me to special housing using and segregate me. I was not allowed to have any visits. I was not allowed to have any mail but once a month. I couldn't talk to nobody. I couldn't have no cellmate. It was just me and that one man cell, 8x12. Literally, I felt like an animal. Literally, I felt how when dogs are in a kennel or the horses are in the stables and they go in and feed them. That's exactly how I felt. When they took me to segregation, I didn't know what to make out of it. I was just in one man cell, one little area that is, you can only have 6-7 steps. You got your shower, you got your toilet, you got your desk, you got your bed. So you got all the necessities that you need through the day right there with you. First month, it was the hardest for me, especially the first 72 hours of being in a special housing unit when I've never in my life been locked up. So it ended up to that. So I'm finding ways that just thinking about just all negativity. I told the psychology that I was hearing voices that I'm to hurt myself. I only wanted sleeping pills. That's all I wanted. I wanted sleeping pills so I can sleep the day away. And man, that they did good to me because I would be asleep most of the day. For almost a month, I became functional with that routine, sleeping almost all the day away. Well, every 30 minutes to 45 minutes, the officer does rounds in every cell, especially when you're in segregation. Psychology comes and visits you and talks to you, counselor. When they see me sleeping over 14 hours a day, they pulled me out and want to talk to me. What's going on? I said, there's nothing going on. He said, you've been sleeping. You ain't been going to rec. You ain't been going outside. I said, why would I want to go outside when they want to come collect me early in the morning? I'm asleep. I said, why would I want to be awake when I'm in prison? So one day I woke up and I looked at the little mirror that I had. I spoke to myself and these were the words. If this is going to be what it's going to be, you need to straighten out and get yourself in shape. I wrote letters to my family, to my friends, to send me magazines, to send me books, to send me a dictionary, to send me a thesaurus. And I would read the newspaper right there. And when they passed it, the detention center would get newspapers. And I passed my time reading. I learned how to read. I learned how to spell. I learned how to write. Take a day with a letter. That's how good it felt, just writing someone that I know is going to hear from me soon. I expand my vocabulary. I started communicating more well with whoever passes by my cell. And by 6:30, 6:40, that the breakfast is coming, I've already had woken up and did my workout. I was back alive. I was working out twice a day. Even though it was just confined in one cell, I had a great time schedule where I read this, I'll hear this talk show on the radio. If the TV can be seen from my cell, I'll see what shows are there, and I start watching them. That's all that was going on for almost 16 months that I stayed there. I couldn't talk to no one. Me and another co-defendant, we were just separated. It was just us two. That made me real strong. My dad falls ill right after being locked up, and he's in ICU. So I tell the officers that I need to make an emergency phone call. They were giving me the runaround. So I covered all the windows. I didn't reply. Now they had to come do something because they can't see me. So I'm telling them, look, I need to speak to my father. need to speak to the captain. I need to speak to rank, because I need to speak to somebody so I can talk. My father's is in ICU. I need to see how he's doing. Confined in a cell that you don't know nothing, but just you know that your dear father is in bed and possibly could die. Man, that hurts. That hurts. To have a picture of your child, her first day of school, and you ain't there, that hurts. That hurts. Yeah. I wasn't worried about the seriousness about it in there. I was more worried about my appeal and my father and my family. I had received 210 months. So I knew that I was going to prison, and I knew that I wasn't going anytime soon.
I want to pause you for a moment, because there were some items that you spoke about in the beginning after being in confinement that gave you what I looked at, and correct me if I'm wrong, the motivation to keep moving forward, like the reading and connecting with your family and exercising, all those things. I know actually we have a mutual friend, that being Jose, which were items that he talked about as well, which was gave him the ability to overcome his circumstances by being held captive, was to find purpose while you're in that circumstance.
Are you ready to shed relationship baggage? Want to feel empowered to create the lifestyle you want? Join us for our Living Free to Be Me program. Our program offers a holistic curriculum with interactive resources to help you experience freedom, heal your heart, and receive closure from past hurts. We have a new guided 7-week session opening up. When you sign up, you are not only investing in yourself, but you will receive tools for a lifetime. Go to jintel.org/living-free to learn more and to sign up for transformative growth.
And so I just wanted to highlight that you share similar experiences of finding that purpose to help overcome your environment and your circumstances.
Yeah. And again, what made me strong and able to overcome my unfortunate situation is, again, knowing that my father had a son, that this is not going to be his rest of his life here. I'm going to come out of this this prison time much stronger, much smarter, much wiser than I was when I went in. When you don't have anything and you have an idea, or you wake up looking towards a visit, when you wake looking towards a goal, that is inspiring. That motivates somebody. That motivates anybody, because you know you're looking forward to something that is better than what you are having at that moment. A romance, whether it's a good friend, whether it's an associate, business partner, it's always good when you're going to go meet someone or going to be meeting or going to be able to help someone that really means something to you. Well, I wanted to go in there and I wanted to, you know, get in shape, go to education, study, and mind my own business, do my time and get out. When 18 months after being incarcerated, my father passes away. My father passes away, and that really took everything from me. It took all my motivation. It took all my, you know, my wanting to live. It took everything. He was my friend. He was my everything. And he already had a lot of problems health-wise. He couldn't eat what he wanted no more. He had to just maintain himself with a script of minimum intake when it comes to his meals, when it comes to salt, none at all, when it comes to some drinking. So when he came and see me, he tells me this, says, son, I lived my life. I'm ready to go. I don't need you to cry for me, because I live my life. Worry about you and coming home. Telling me that, you know, I'm good. I'm going to be good. Worry about who stays here that's still living. But I've never been with someone that talks so freely, relaxed about dying. And my dad was almost 61 when he passed away. So that knocked me for a good while. I mean, it took me like 4 years to get back on my overcoming my sadness, my depression, my not wanting to live, being in the institution, getting drunk, buying hooch, and buying any liquor that they can make whether if it's stronger, the better. We'll go days without eating simply because I just want to feel numbed. You know, I wouldn't care if I die or overdose by drinking, because it's nothing but poison. And you bring some hooch. Now, if you shine it, if you bring it liquor now, it's more stronger. So instead of having food in my locker, I had nothing but liquor in my locker. Yeah. And I didn't care about anything.
What you shared is quite common in the sense of grieving and working through that level of loss. Because he has such an influence in your life.
Yeah. When I was already in the federal system, I was already there. I get extradited to the Dallas County. The Dallas County had me there for 7 months because I had state charges pending. And those state charges were very serious. It was to where the point where I am really hurting because of my father. My father passes away. I'm facing trial in the state. And I'm being charged with two murders. And I know that there's no way they're going to be able to come together with everything they needed, because a lot of it was false. I knew that certain witnesses they said that they were going to have, I knew that they weren't going to be there, because how could they just lie just like that? And these type of cases are very, very serious. The reason why they have to have everything in order as it's supposed to be to convict somebody.
Right. Emilio, I definitely appreciate all the things that you have shared with us today and just given us more understanding just of your experiences. I know some of the things were not easy, but just to, again, hear how at the end of the day, you found purpose. And that's what I want to do, because what I want to do is I want to bring you back on this show so we can talk about the purpose that has been placed on your heart with your nonprofit. So, Emilio, would you come back?
Absolutely, Ms. Baker. Absolutely.
I would
definitely come back.
And in the interim, how can people find you before they come back next week? Where can they look you up at?
www.eagleofhope.org. They can find me in Facebook, The Eagle of Hope. They can find me on Instagram. And mind you, that they're fairly new. These accounts are fairly new because I'm just now partaking, since I have just recently received my 501c3 certificate by the IRS. And I want to say that from this lovely opportunity to have this interview and overcoming, I know that one that is young always believe that they know it all. We always go through that phase. You would always overcome. You would always overcome, and you would always avoid certain mistakes I've already done by many, because history repeats itself, by just listening to the elders that really know that you really know that they love you and want the best for you. That is the best advice that you can really receive from someone that's older than you, because they lived it and they can see it and they can sense when there's bad company around you.
Which is great advice to give, which is sometimes we just need a little extra help and it's okay to listen. So what I want you to do, you guys have a good rest of the week. Come back. We're going to talk a little bit more in detail about all the things that Emilio is up to. Have a good one.